Good morning, everybody. So Texas started planting primarily resistant or immune varieties to bacterial blight back around 2001. We shifted dramatically from the 1990s when we were predominantly planting susceptible varieties to bacterial blight. And that really reduced overall the disease we had in the region since that 2001-2002 growing season. And we didn't have a lot of blight this year either, but we saw some changes in the blight that really got my attention. Particularly, we saw some disease, at least a limited amount of disease, on some what I would call immune varieties to bacterial blight. And so I was pretty alarmed when that happened. So sort of the progression that happened in Texas is back in early June, I got some samples in from South Texas from some Bayer Crop Science folks. And they thought they were seeing some reproduction or some disease on resistant varieties. Only they sent me leaves from a susceptible variety, and I isolated and didn't find anything unusual on that. And then Charlie Cook, who's a breeder with Alltex Cotton, said that, well, early on they had blight on susceptible varieties, but then in his nursery, later in the summer, he got some blight on Fibromax 958, which is an immune variety, at least in my experience. So he sent me some leaves from that, and I had trouble getting isolates, but I finally was able to tease out one isolate from the material. And I have a nursery that I spray, our cotton breeder has a nursery that I spray with blight, and I had already sprayed her nursery. I had to wait for symptoms to develop and then rate that, and then her resistant check, which was Fibromax 2484 B2 Flex, once I was sure that no symptoms had developed on that from my normal application, I went ahead and treated a few plants with that isolate from Charlie Cook's material, and I did get bacterial blight on Fibromax 2484, and I was able to recover it and re-isolate it, you know, Koch's postulates. And that's never happened before in my experience. And then late July, I was at the nematology meetings and got a call from a grower where I had a test, and he said, it was a verticillium wilt test, he said the field was defoliating. And so, that happens. And so I got out there expecting to find verticillium wilt a week or two later, and instead I found bacterial blight. And he had planted Fibromax 1830 GLT, which is, again, in my experience, an immune variety. By the time I got out there, the disease had already, it lost the leaves, it defoliated the leaves that had symptoms. He had a swath about 20 feet wide that went from the center pivot all the way to the edge of the field, which is a quarter mile in length of disease that had all dropped out, which presumably was all bacterial blight. And then I had a test plot there that had a series of susceptible varieties, and the disease kept going all season long in mine. And so I called Jason Woodward, who was at the APS meetings, and I freaked. And so Jason got back to Lubbock, and he started looking in his test plots and in other, he got involved with training extension agents, and everybody started looking in their test plots for blight. So Jason found some in Lubbock on Fibromax 2484 B2 Flex, an immune variety. Mark Kelly's people found some in Amherst, Texas on Fibromax 1830. And this isn't just a single plant that they're finding it on. This is a little disease foci that they're finding it on. And then I was rating some material in Halfway, and I found it on two varieties. They're new. I don't have a lot of experience with either one or cultivars, but both of them had rated out resistant to me in some other tests that I had had with traditional inoculation. So this certainly got my attention, and I made an isolate collection from this material and other ones. And this is just some symptoms from our plain site, a fairly traditional looking bacterial blight. Notice the leaves are a little bit ragged in appearance, more pictures from lanes, and there's really a lot of this going on in the field. The lesions would drop out, and we'd have this sort of shot hole effect, and that's new. I have not seen that before. This field did not get hailed on, but it kind of had that appearance, and so that was kind of a new symptom. I don't know if it's important or not, but I saw quite a bit of it. And so this is just some of the varieties I had in my test at the plain side, and you can see resistant varieties on sort of close to zero. I had a bunch of resistant and then a bunch of susceptible, and this is just monitoring disease at three dates. The blue is 5th of August, the red is the 26th of August, and the green is the 16th. And you can see on the resistant varieties, I did get some disease, but then as the summer progressed, it kind of dropped out, and the susceptible continued throughout most of the season, or at least on most of the varieties. And this is just taking the blue is the resistant varieties at this site, and the red would be the susceptible, and just looking at a linear regression with the susceptible, we averaged about 50% blight out there, so I would say the susceptible varieties probably lost about 10% of their yield as a result of the disease. So I had this isolate collection that I put together from various sites. I think I had a total of isolates from some previous work I had done over the years. The Plains Cotton Growers are an organization in Texas, and they have funded me for the last 16 years to do bacterial blight field research for the producer. So I was actually pretty well set up to do a little bit of work on it as a result of their generous funding over the years. And so I've taken this collection of isolates and I've started a greenhouse screening against some different varieties. And so I grow up the isolate for 3 to 7 days on a bacterial media. And then I scratch the underside of colletins, put it in a humidity chamber for 1 day, and then I move it to a growth chamber for 2 weeks and rake it. RCBD design, 4 replications per trial, typically 9 isolates per trial. I have an old Seminole isolate I use in all trials. And typically the 5 varieties I use are Delta Pine 1454 NRB2RF, Delta Pine 1044BQRF, Phytogen 375 Y-Strike Flex, Fibromax 1830 GLT, and Fibromax 2484BQ Flex. And then I already talked about the other the rest of the system, and then I rate them at 14 days for water soaking and chlorosis. So this is just the underside, both top and bottom side of a cotyledon on a 4 reps of you know 4 plants there. You can kind of get a sense for the Delta Pine 1454 and RB2RF what a symptom may look like. Here's the Delta Pine 1044 B2RF. Fibromax 1830 GLT, Phytogen 375 Y-Strike Flex, and these are all with the same isolate, number 92, and then Fibromax 2484 B2 Flex. So anyway, so far I've run 10 tests, about 17,000 and some odd observations. I've tested 71 isolates, and some were tested twice. If I got a really strong susceptible response on a resistant variety, then I would run that isolate through again. And my comparisons in my analysis across all these data sets were variety, the effect of location, where the isolates were taken from, and the interaction between variety and location. And I did get significant variety by location interaction there, so I looked at that a little harder. This is across all the tests, on a 0 to 1 scale, 1 being it showed water soaking, 0 none. And so across all these Delta Pine 1454 NRB2F, across all those pots, we were nearly 100% of the plants showing symptoms. With Delta Pine 1044B2RF, about 55% of the plants overall showed symptoms. And then Phytogen 375 and Fibromax 1830 were roughly 15% of the plants showed some sort of symptom, water soaking, and then the Fibromax were closer to 10% for the 2484. So, this is looking a little closer at the Delta Pine 1454 NRB2F, and this happens to be 19 locations where we had various isolates from these. And all locations performed exactly the same, basically. On our highly susceptible variety, all locations performed the same. Green is when the isolates came from susceptible varieties for that location. Red, if the isolate or isolates came from a resistant variety. And then the blue, we either had a mixture of resistant or susceptible varieties at that location that I pulled isolates from, or I just don't know what the variety was. And so Now, this is adult pine 1044 B2RF, and there was a significant difference between locations using this variety. So the ropes, which had the most amount of disease isolates, were similar. You see the red line tells you which ones. So these were all performed similar. The ropes performed similar to all these isolates. And then the CI, and this happened to be the isolate that came from 958 from Charlie Cook's nursery, had less disease on this, and it performed similar to this group of isolates, just to give you a little idea of the separation. And a lot of variability with 1044 in terms of performance. 375, less variability across the isolates, less disease in general. But the halfway isolates, which came from three different cultivars, definitely had more disease on phytogen 375 and fairly tight grouping. And then the rest of, you know, Casey Jones locations would have been similar to all these. So less variability than 1044, but still some significant differences. And then in this case, Fibromax 2484, the C1 isolate, which again came from that Fibromax 958, and had the most disease, had similar across the whole thing. So you're seeing really not significant differences for C1. The ag cares actually was significantly different than the ones beyond this reniform site. A variability is there and somewhat consistent, I guess, from different sites. But I can't really make sense of it other than to say that there's some variability there, and it does seem to differ from one location to another. So while there is field evidence of a partial breakdown in resistance on what had been immune varieties, I can't really say for sure in a greenhouse assay that we have some sort of race shift, because I can't reproduce the susceptible symptoms in the greenhouse consistently on a variety. So I may get one plant out of four reps that will give symptoms, or one plant out of, you know, multiple trials, 16 plants or something that will have symptoms. If it was a race shift, certainly I guess I would expect it to have all four reps or three out of four reps or something with symptoms, and that hasn't happened. I did do Koch's postulates successfully in the field, and I will say in general my field assay is a little bit better generally than my greenhouse one. And so I'll do a lot more field testing next year. I just didn't have room this year. I didn't have an unsprayed place to work with these things. I didn't have the right varieties planted, so I'll be prepared next year. Anyway, so there was some differences within locations in terms of some locations seem to have more disease than others on our less susceptible varieties. But at this point in time, I cannot state that we have a new race. I certainly haven't been able to demonstrate that. So any questions?
Time for questions.